That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
As
Caldwell drops his keys in a notebook.
I don't like the lump in my pocket, so I take my keys out. And then Reiko was pointing at the fact that I have a bunch of poop bags in my pocket.
Whoa.
Oh, from the dog.
Right,
the dog.
For me.
Not from that. Not from the dog.
For anyone that needs poop.
Okay.
Or needs poop removed.
Bad start. Bad start to the episode. Really sorry, everybody. We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, joined, of course, by the lowly. Bailiff Jay Kerwitz.
Happy to be here.
And also, we have a very special guest judge joining us, Reika Shankar. Thank you so much for coming on, Reika.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
That's so polite.
You really polite. Are actually not a guest judge yet.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry to be here.
Once you read this oath, okay. Which, oh, wow, I'm so jealous. I would love to read that.
I can just start reading this?
Yeah. You read that, and then once you're sworn in, you can actually be really mean.
You can
me.
Be mean to Jake. You don't have to be polite anymore.
Awesome. Well, before I read this then, Jake, I admire your work. I think you're really nice.
Wow.
I think you're just a great guy.
Thanks.
Great. Get ready.
Wait, maybe don't read it.
A lot of those compliments were pretty vague.
Do you think that becoming a justice is going to change, Reika?
I doubt it.
No.
I feel pretty solid in who I am, so we'll see. I, Reika Shankar, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the players, as well as the DMs against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation of my own volition, that I will be well and faithfully, that I will... Be well. I guess I will be well, but that I will well and faithfully embark upon this noble pursuit of justice. So help me, gods.
Yes. Wellness is important here. Yeah. We really believe in that.
Yeah.
For all
yeah.
of us. And maybe that. Jake, too.
No. Jake is unwell.
You don't still admire my work?
Never. What work, Jake?
You don't think I'm a great guy?
Haven't seen it.
Welcome, Reika, to the Supreme Crit.
Hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, Tanner, and Shankar presiding. Ooh. And our first case comes from Paige S. Paige writes, to the darling judges and that little fart of a bailiff, JJ the jet plane. Okay. We present to you
that
the case.
Little fart.
He's a little fart. He's not even a big one.
Not even a big one.
Yeah,
not
I
even,
keep the poop bags around in case of Jake, honestly.
Yeah. Not even a wet fart. Not even a shark.
You wouldn't even need a bag for Jake.
Just a little butt
He's
whistle.
Just a little, such a little fart.
Not even silent but deadly, just a little noise. We present to you the case of the never-ending pregame lore. The two of us have a grievance against our DM. A dear friend of ours is preparing to launch his newest campaign, and we have just begun the character creation. He has teased that he wanted to try something new for his lore, and we were curious. He is a very creative guy. Judges, what we are about to tell you is completely true.
Okay.
You should have started with that. What initially looked like two lore documents turned out to be a labyrinth of hidden links to more documents, which contained hidden links to more documents.
Oh, no.
There was one page.
I think that your friend is making an interactive website.
This is kind of a text adventure.
Yeah, yeah. You're getting house relieved.
There was one page written entirely in Elvish, which was a PNG, so we could not copy and paste it into a translator.
What?
Instead, we had to find within his lore a 7-page translation guide so we could translate it by hand. Judges, we shit you not. There were 25 total documents, most of which were multiple pages long. And to make matters worse, within all this intricate world lore is very little actual information useful to character creation.
Oh, no!
Okay.
The only saving grace is that he claims that we don't need to find all of the hidden documents so that each PC comes in with different knowledge about the world. Two of us have stopped looking. We are exhausted. The rest of the party seems to love it, but they're all freelancers or contract workers. While two of us work full-time jobs, we beseech you, wise ones. Are we weaklings who cannot handle the lore, or are we right in thinking this is too damn much?
Just your DM clearly just wants to play Myst. Just play Myst.
Just play Myst. Go on the island, push the buttons.
Push the buttons is fun. Talk to the guy in the book.
This is like a mystery box game. It does seem like this would be fun if this was the whole game, right?
Yeah.
Or like make a little adventure, like escape room or something. Make a meow wolf. Make your own meow wolf.
Make a meow wolf.
Oh, I love that.
I think because a couple of the people are enjoying it, we can't write this off because people are enjoying it.
But these are contractors.
Yeah,
I didn't like that.
Simple contractors, brainless.
They couldn't handle a 9-to-5 like me.
Is it possible that I don't think that we could weigh in on this till we know how much this DM expects you to know the lore?
Well, the DM said you don't have to know everything, but it sounds like at the very least they expect you to know some of the 100 pages worth of the document.
I mean, this is the thing about a paper escape room is you can just walk right out. You're not trapped in there. You can just choose to stop reading it.
This is interesting. This DM might get off on a technicality. If I send everyone, before we start, like a 10-page single-spaced lore email, and I was mad that you didn't read every single word of it, that's
that
weird. That's not okay. But if I do that and then I'm like, whatever.
I just read this for me.
Read it or don't. I don't give a fuck.
There's a couple wars that happened 10,000 years before the start of the campaign, and if you guys want to know about that, cool.
Are you going to ultimately be rewarding these freelancers?
Don't say that word. That's a dirty word.
Freelancers, a.k.a. freeloaders, who have the time to read all the lore. Because you're saying it doesn't matter, you don't have to read all the lore. But then there are some people who will read all the lore and might get DM favor from that.
These disgusting contractors might be billing for their time. They might be counting this as work hours. When
What if they're billing? But are we charging? Are we doing what they did in that Tom Cruise movie that I can't remember right now, but where they charge for future crimes?
Minority Report?
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Uh-huh,
I think that we haven't seen it play out yet.
Right.
So we can't say for sure. So I think we have no option but to sentence the freelance.
That's actually a really good point. We have no option.
What do you mean we have no option?
I do.
Emily,
I feel like this is clearly between the DM and the players here.
It's like the person watching outside the courthouse. You sentence them.
Yeah. Contractors often don't have enough rights, so we can kind of
But they might have enough time to go to trial.
Yeah.
Whereas these 9-to-5 people, they probably have a ton of kids.
Yeah.
We don't know.
We could also do a Minority Report type thing and fill up your bathtub with milk, put Caldwell in there for a bit. And then they're the precogs.
Yeah.
Yes. Were they in milk?
Yeah.
I think they were in milk.
It looks like milk.
It's like electrified milk.
All right. The interesting thing is, I think I only knew the like tagline of the movie about future crime, and I've never seen it.
I've seen it.
I don't know what you guys are talking about with the milk stuff.
I'm going to be honest. I haven't seen it either.
You haven't seen it?
But I would love to get into a bathtub full of milk.
Here's the thing. I have two siblings. We could all shave our heads, get in a milk tub.
Right, there are three.
Yeah, and then I could be a pre-called, and then like I could just determine. You could kind of use like my verdict to like influence the court. Like I just like spring out of the electrified milk and say guilty, charge the freelancer.
Oh, okay. The people in the milk tell you.
Yeah, they tell Tom Cruise what crime is going
to
happen.
What? And he has to act upon it.
That is
okay.
That
does
is
he
so
commit
corrupt.
A crime or
does
is he
Tom
punishing
realize?
People? For crime?
We're not. We're both.
I haven't seen it in a while.
There's a little marble. There's a little marble carved out of wood.
We have to Minority Report right now.
Yeah.
We have to.
I'm going to honestly and I watch it kind tonight. Of seen it. Yeah, like, fully selling me by saying people get naked, get into milk, and see the future.
Well, three people do. Yeah.
Right, yes. Yeah. Not everyone. It's a privilege.
Wait, so there's three people
not a right.
That
a
are like...
there's three people who don't have rights but have privileges to get in the milk right. and learn.
Well, full time, mind you.
They were born. Okay. Yeah.
They're always in the milk.
They're always in the milk. It's these and three the, people that are like kind of they
were born they in the milk.
Like the vitamin
power.
D.
Yeah. Can I?
Wait, what vitamin does milk have?
D.
Yeah.
D. Can
okay.
I
same as like calcium. That's weird.
I thought it's no C is orange.
Oranges. Whole milk has vitamin D.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Is what Tom Cruise fighting for the right for everyone to get into milk?
That's actually a really interesting question. I think that it comes up in the sequel.
Right for everyone
yeah,
to
Minority
get into
Report
milk.
2. The well, yeah. Sequel.
Minority Report 2. More milk. Yeah, yeah.
More milk for all.
Majority Report. It's all about like the free will to get in the milk or not get in the milk.
Okay.
And right, that's kind right. of the central question of the film is, am I guilty before I've committed the crime? Do I need to live in milk or can I choose whether I want to get out of the milk? These are kind of like the dual questions being asked. Tom Cruise gets a red marble that says he committed a crime and he's got to run
or
really far away.
I knew it. I knew it.
He's going to commit a crime. And then he's like, well, then these precogs must be compromised or cogpromised because I'm not going to commit a crime. But then it's like, well, all of the people we already put in jail for their future crimes, maybe they're all innocent.
Exactly.
Yeah. This sounds like such a sick movie. Thanks for describing it.
It kind of rips. Maybe it doesn't hold up, but I remember really liking it at the time.
Okay, yeah. So since we don't know who to sentence here, I think we can sentence the people who submitted and the DM. All three of them need to get into a bath of milk.
Wow. I thought you were going to say just watch Minority Report. What if they get into a milk bath and watch Minority Report?
That's how about this? Instead of watching it, we all just describe it to them while overlapping
we
with each other.
We just did, I think.
Yeah, but we just do that again. We're all in this hot milk tub. It's got
to
be hot.
Unfortunately, it has to be hot.
Oh, my God. Uh-huh.
And not hot enough to be enjoyable, just hot enough to curdle it.
Tepid. Oh my God.
Tepid milk tub.
So we're in there. We're describing the plot of Minority Report. We're doing a bad job, but like we are going to keep describing
so
it
fiction.
For the runtime.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'd have to do something different.
Yeah, we don't watch it again to remember. Half of us have not seen it. Half of us on a
Yeah.
One of us sort of knows what's going on, but right, he's really focusing on the milk.
Cut to later tonight when Murph walks in on me in the bathtub and I'm filled with milk. And I'm like, get out of here. Get out of here.
I'm thinking of crime.
Get out of here.
This is, yeah. Personal crime.
Oh, divination, dude.
All right. So I think we've come up with the punishment.
Yes.
Yeah, but we haven't decided.
Freelancers.
So here's what I'm going to say. I do agree that if the DM hits you with a very long lore email, that's very intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
However, the fact that it's optional, I think... makes it fine.
So you think they're absolved?
Yeah. I think that slaps. Yeah,
okay, yeah. I think,
it's proven by the fact that some people are into it.
Right.
Some people are into it, and I think you won't know if this is an offense until you start the game and find out how much you're being punished for not doing it.
Yeah. This is future crime.
And Tom Cruise learned his lesson in that movie. We can't make the same mistake.
But you know what? You can resubmit.
Crime. Yeah.
If the DM does end up giving them favoritism.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we'll punish everyone.
He just like receives a marble and it's like a serious moment.
It's a serious, it is, yeah. Okay, let me describe, let me lay it out for you.
Is it, can I guess as someone who's never seen it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this is what happens. Basically, one of the psychics gets out of the milk, usually when
wrong.
There's not a crime.
Wrong already.
It's a white marble. But then Tom Cruise is like, am I going to do crimes today? And he goes to get his handful of marbles to find out if he was a good boy or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets a marble and then he opens his hand up and he sees that it's red and he's kind of shaking.
Almost that. See, there's lasers involved and they're etching the crime onto the marble for no reason at all. And Tom Cruise is wearing some really cool gloves that allow him to manipulate a 3D computer and like a little red marble shows up, and that's how he knows like where the crime is being committed.
And right, I just want to say this for anyone who hasn't come to this revelation like I did just about 3 seconds ago, Minority Report is different from Mission Impossible.
absolutely. And that's important to remember.
And is that wrong?
Should they
be the same movie? I think so.
It's the same lead. Should we have just combined them and saved everybody a little bit of time?
Yeah.
I feel like we could combine them, and then it also makes the Mission Impossible franchise have more sequels, which who does not love?
All right,
number
so imagine
number 10.
It's Simon Pegg, and he's naked and in the milk, and he's like, oh, did a crime bin happen in it?
In
So ordered.
I think everyone understands.
Yeah. We're all on the same page.
I think we figured it out. And I think the people who were punished forgot about what we were talking about.
For sure.
Just like we did.
And our next case comes from Dylan B. To the honorable judges and the sweet bailiff cake, I bring the case of the Darth Mom. Thank you for that. I forgot about the cake thing. In my first long-form game, I gave my player a +1 mop as a joke for getting a nat 20 on an investigation check where there was truly nothing to be found. He ran with this, wanting it to be a double-sided Darth mop like a Star Wars lightsaber.
Or like a really long cheerleader pom-pom.
Precisely. Okay. I can't stress enough how much I hate this mop that I gave him, and he knows it. But it makes him happy, so I live with it. The problem is that he wants the mop in every game I run now. Can someone, Justice Murphy, I beg you, tell this madman that he can't have his double-ended lightsaber
mop? I had an opinion, actually. It's weird that you singled out Murph for this one.
I defer to Gold. Usually we're on the same side.
Right, yeah.
How many sides do you think the mop should have, Justice Turner?
I think it should be a mop star with four heads. I want to get the Reka take on this one.
I think it sounds like you were being fun as the DM, and you gave your little player a little cookie, and I think that's really cute and nice. And he wants the cookie to be 10 cakes.
Yes.
And I think that's not okay.
Yeah. And you're kind of like, hey, man, you haven't swallowed the one cookie I gave you.
Yeah. Like, think of how fun if you could find a way to just keep this mop at the low power level it is and find a way to use it later on rather than trying to make it a super mop. Mm. Like, how fun. This is the improviser in me. Like, take the little... the little nugget and then be like, oh, it did come in handy later for some stupid thing.
I think that's restraint is missing here.
Okay, here's the petty thing you could try. Try giving everyone else better weapons. And see if they're suddenly
the
ready
other people
for
in the party find,
weapon.
You know, like axes and swords and stuff.
Right.
And they're really good. They have really good stats.
Maybe
they're swords.
Maybe all the enemies are really clean already. So the mop just doesn't,
it doesn't
do any
do
extra
anything. It
doesn't do anything.
Specify, make a world that is already really clean.
Resistant to mopping.
Yeah.
So to be clear, just so the double-sided mop, clean. I would assume, has just got the mop on both sides of it.
Rather than the handle.
So that would be, which would be a stick.
Yeah, that would be less dangerous.
Which is actually a really good idea for a mop.
Yeah.
You know, like you're mopping, and it gets dirty, and then you have to wring it out. But you could actually, rather than wring it out, you could...
Could you imagine how dirty you would get?
And then it gets all the dirt gets on your shirt.
And then it gets on your shirt.
And then it gets on your shirt.
And then you wear.
But then you
we sell those shirts.
Right.
We sell those shirts.
That's good.
What are you cleaning up?
Here's your mopping shirt. Because you're cleaning up after the precognition.
Yeah.
Because now they can get out if they want to, and they're spilling milk everywhere.
Someone has to clean that tank.
Mm-hmm. Each side of this mop can soak up an entire tub of milk.
That would be a cool power.
Yeah.
Imagining joylessly mopping while another mop head is spilling gunk on the
floor. Oh, wait, no, you just need a special hat. You just need like an upside down umbrella
hat. Interesting, a bucket hat.
It came up organically.
Everyone needs to describe context. We're doing a bucket hat bit before we started recording.
It's not a bit, Murph. I actually want one.
I don't know why you won't take Emily seriously.
And the bit is also that I won't let Emily buy a bucket hat, which isn't real. She can buy a bucket hat if she wants.
And I will.
Yeah. And you should.
And that's fine.
Murph, your trad values have no place here.
Yeah, truly. I had no idea. Women can wear bucket hats.
I'm going to wear a bucket hat with two cute little braids, and you're going to change your tune on bucket hats.
Cute braids.
I don't have a tune. I can't change my tune when I don't have one. What were we talking about? The double-sided mop.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I really think that you should just try to give everyone else better weapons and see if they suddenly are.
The more you can do to remind this player that they have a mop is probably good.
See, I feel like normally I do want to be on board with this mop thing, but this is just classic kung fu shenanigans where like Jackie Chan's going to use that mop for one fight, but it's going to get broken. Like that mop's not going to last. It's not durable enough.
Who knows what would happen if you gave up the mop? What else could be out there?
That's true. Oh, you're holding yourself back.
Two-sided broom.
Yeah.
Two-sided Swiffer.
Two-sided Swiffer.
A Roomba mount.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. You haven't gone far enough with
into the cleaning thing. Yeah. Yeah. Imagine a stick with two Roombas. Yeah.
The custodian class?
It's really, you know what?
Yeah. I'm here to clean up the dirt.
Yeah.
Kind of sick. I don't hate it.
Just imagine like an orc who's spick and span, just like so clean, yeah. So absolutely shining, not a speck of dirt on him.
Yeah. Oh, your attacks are useless against me.
Yeah. All right. So
we're
we...
ruling against the player.
Mm-hmm. We are ruling the player against the player.
Took a fun little joke and just beat it to death.
Yeah. Wants to use it in other campaigns yeah. outside of this.
And so
one.
I think we've come up with a good punishment, which is I think you give your other players Roombas, Darth Maul Roombas.
Yeah. Okay. Sweet. Yeah. Rub it in their face.
Either way you want to do it, you can do a stick with a Roomba on each side, mm-hmm. or you can do episode one branded Roombas, which I do think is kind of cool.
I mean, R2-D2, we don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's kind of just a Roomba.
It's kind of just a Roomba.
They simply must have like an R2-D2 themed Roomba.
I'm sure.
They should. If they don't, they should.
They really
sounds
should.
Like another... We should make them. Disney's yeah. not like super litigious or anything, are they?
They'll never find us. Yeah.
They don't know where we post from.
Yeah, dude. Well, we'll all have to move to Sweden.
The podcast stopped. They made R2-D2 Roombas and fled.
They doubled down on it. They wouldn't stop production. Okay, so that settles that. How do we punish Murph for not letting Emily have a bucket
what?
Hat?
Oh, that's true. I didn't. She can have a bucket hat.
I would say the punishment is Emily gets a bucket hat, but yeah. I think that would actually, like, Murph would go so nuts that yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think that I get three bucket hats and I change which one is on top hat every day.
Oh.
It's kind of like it's like sort of a ceremonial thing. I mm-hmm. wake up and I switch. So that the different one is on top. Yeah.
How about Murph is like your hat rack and he's got like seven bucket hats
yeah,
on his head?
I think he should have to wear like an uncool hat.
Yeah.
Also. There's something nice about kind of like, you know, having seven because he can only ever get super mad at one by the end of the day.
Right.
And then the next day it's a new hat.
Yeah.
So it's kind of diluting
and you pretend,
his anger.
You pretend it's like...
It refreshes the rage. Yeah. It's directed at something else.
So
yeah.
We're sentencing Murph to be my bucket hat hat rack.
Yeah.
So I have one for every day of the week, and he's wearing the other six I'm not wearing.
Most brutal punishment we've ever doled out.
Yeah. All right, Murph is the bucket buddy. Got it.
Okay, so bucketed.
Hey, everybody. It's Emily here to talk to you about Mint Mobile. It's spring cleaning. We're getting rid of the things that don't serve us anymore, and you know what doesn't serve anyone? Expensive phone bills. If you'd like to declutter your finances, it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/pawpaw. That's mintmobile.com/pawpaw. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/PAWPAW. $45 upfront payment minimum required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey there, Nadpoles. Did you know that about 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgot about? Truly, even if you think you have your number of subscriptions under control, you might as well check out Rocket Money. Just to be sure, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings, folks. With Rocket Money, you got full control over all of your subscriptions and a clear view of those expenses. You can see all your subscriptions in one place, so if there's anything you don't want, Rocket Money will help you cancel it with just a few taps. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate your bills lower for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They will deal with customer service and all those AI chatbots so you don't have to. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and it saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions. That is saving their members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things that you don't use, cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw, rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Our next case comes from Scott W. Scott W. writes, to the beautiful, beautiful judges and the lowly, low-key, lazy, loveless bailiff.
Whoa! Damn.
I plead my case. One of our players in a long-running Eberron campaign came across the deck of many things. Having bought the fancy new set of cards, I eagerly brought the set to our next session.
Nice.
Needless to say, it did not end well.
Yeah.
In a total of 7 draws, 4 of them were either Don John or the Void. Since our DM claimed that once a player drew their cards, they rejoined the deck, it ended up with entire party being zorped away and leading to an impromptu end to our campaign. In the days since, we've been questioning the likelihood of all of us drawing the worst cards imaginable. Was our DM correct in reshuffling the cards back and punishing us for our hubris? Or was foul play involved? Also, will Dice Christ forgive me for bringing the nicely minted cards to the session, urging us to continue drawing cards? Thanks in advance, and may Baba Yaga not take you this night.
Wow.
Okay, so deck of many things, we know the Void is the one where you just get like sucked into a gem.
Void, actually, your soul is drawn from your body and contained in an object in a place of the DM's choice. So just your soul is put in.
Okay. Oh, then that's fine.
Just two of the people's souls got, okay. Uh-huh.
As long as I'm a shell, that's fine.
That's kind of the best part. Yeah. As long as the object is a bucket hat, I'm fine.
Burp will allow it.
Yeah.
My soul is in a bucket hat already.
Yeah.
As long as I look hot in my bucket hat, I don't give a shit where my soul is.
Six.
Imagine Frankenstein with a bucket hat. It's perfect. His head's
he was
flat.
Already a 10. He's so jacked.
He's so jacked.
The hottest thing about a person.
The only thing that matters is if you're jacked.
Yeah.
See how hot Frankenstein's neck is?
So big. Enormous.
And then I've got some info on our man Don John.
Kay.
You disappear and become entombed in a state of suspended animation in an extra dimensional sphere. So that one's kind of
that's the one
gem.
Where you get you get like sucked into a gem.
Yeah,
essentially. Yeah.
Let's see. Wow. So 7 draws. 4 of them were either Don John or the Void.
Yes. So now let's weigh in on if you does it specify if the cards go back into the deck
now,
on the description.
They might have updated the rules for that new set that came out. I'm just looking online. But
I think from what we vaguely remember,
yeah.
we can make a call,
sure.
Right?
Once a card is drawn, it fades from existence. Unless the card is the Fool or the Jester, the card reappears in the deck, making it possible to draw the same card twice.
Oh!
So they did change it back into the deck.
Wow.
It seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, fucking impossible to play.
Yes.
If everybody's stuck in another dimension.
Yeah. Can I suggest if anyone out there is like, hey, I'm really sick of DMing, my players are being really evil, you could just stack the deck of many things to be all bad and then
all
get rid of your
party. Yeah.
Don John.
Oh, the dude who's really excited about the mop. Oh, dude.
Oh, crap.
Oh, shit, you're in a sphere. You're gone.
Oh, pick a card. Reveal it's 25 Don Johns.
Oh, you didn't read my lore maze.
You and your mop
your
are in a gym.
Your soul is gone.
You fell for it. The quadruple Don John operation.
That is statistically tough,
it's
but
really,
statistically possible.
Yeah, I mean, it is possible. How many Don Johns and Void cards are in the deck?
Are there 21 cards in there?
Okay, so there are 22 cards.
Okay.
22 cards. I thought it was like full on 52
cards.
That's
not wild. I mean, how many times have we rolled, you know, a 2 twice in a row or a 1 a couple times in a row?
I don't know who we can rule against in this, though.
Well, I mean,
the DM was technically correct that the cards reappear in the deck.
I mean, I think this person is essentially accusing their DM of stacking
of
the
stacking
deck.
Of stacking the
but
deck.
I think
yeah.
I,
yeah.
Are these
I
future crimes?
Yeah.
Are we assuming?
Oh, my
we're
God.
Not even Tom Cruise's Minority
I'll draw
report,
the
okay?
milk bath.
My hand is shaking looking at the red bead.
There's no pre-crime here.
Marble.
We cannot try you for pre-crime.
God. My fingerless gloves look so good.
Yeah. But there's another thing that, and I don't know if they've updated it at all, because apparently now they're like printing and selling the real cards. But there was a time where you had to declare how many cards you were pulling.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if it's different characters, they could pull the same card. Like, it disappears and it goes back in the deck.
Right.
So the deck does not get depleted.
Yeah.
The same person cannot draw the same card twice, I don't think, because I believe you say like, I'm going to draw two cards, and then they give you two cards.
Yeah.
Right. In that moment, you can't have a duplicate because there's only two physical cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think if it's said in there, like, I got sent away, and then someone used a wish spell to bring me back, and then I got it again, that's not cool. Mm-hmm.
This has, like, the energy of somebody sitting at a blackjack table.
And being like,
I got a 20. Yes. How did the fucking dealer get a 21?
Yeah.
This is impossible.
Yeah.
Rika, have you encountered the deck of many things in any of your...
I've never seen it.
Wow.
But I'm really interested in this sort of card counting interpretation of it, where it's like, does the house always win, and all your players are stuck in a gem?
It is a game ruiner. It is a potential campaign ruiner. Yeah, I mean, for sure.
This player says we have an impromptu end to the campaign.
You know, I'm a new justice. I'm new to the deck of many things. But I wonder if everybody just kind of needs to take some time in a gem for themselves.
Yeah. That was like a punishment. Needed,
oh my God, maybe this DM is like about to go on like paternity or maternity leave.
Whoa,
and they're like, oh shit, you're all in gems.
Uh-oh.
And we'll all be back in 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
This is actually a great question. Like, if you could have your soul severed or your body placed in a
100%,
gem.
Yes, 100%. Yes.
Damn, you're in.
Easy. Okay. Never had an easier question.
I'm like, all right, so time works differently. Like, you get like a little time in the gym. Mm-hmm. Like, your body is just like ragdolled for an indefinite amount of time. Uh-huh. But time is moving differently inside the gym. Let's say maybe like
Is there milk in there or no?
There's so much milk in there. Mm-hmm. Infinite milk. You get like a week in the gym, and that's like a whole day where your body is just ragdolled. Do you do it?
I don't think I'd do it, because I think my mind without my fingers to express myself would go absolutely.
My mind and my fingers are interconnected in a huge way.
I need my fingers. Well, would you be separated from your bucket hat? Would you be like a ghost?
Yeah, you'd be like a ghost.
Could I get work done in the gym?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
And wait, what are the benefits? It's just that I'm away from my body for a week? Like, is there anything that's good about it?
Well, I think you get a week and a day.
You're contracted in the gym for 1 week.
Yeah. Theoretically, I'll give you an example, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Episodes take a while to edit. The campaign episodes take a while to edit. So I could just put myself in my bed, transfer my soul to a gem, sit there and have an editing bay in the gem, edit for a week, and then get out and only a day has passed.
No Wi-Fi in the gem, man.
Wow. Oh, then no.
Only if you turn the timeout in the gem into a work vacation.
Can I bring a book?
Yeah, you can bring a book. Yeah, you can bring a book.
Like a there's a lot of deprivation chamber.
Can I bring a journal?
Yeah, for sure.
Can I bring a TV? Yeah.
Can I bring my dog and my car?
What about all
everything
four of
you
my
want.
Cats?
Everything you want can be in there.
Can I bring all my work?
Yeah. Ooh,
my husband. Wait, this is just turning into my house.
Can I bring my house?
Yeah, your house is there, but you can't.
You can have a little room. If you can have a little room.
No, you can't bring your car.
I think if you could have a little room, I would consider doing it. But even I think that would be maybe not fun. I think you'd regret it a day in. You'd be like, I'm getting so much work done. And you'd be like, I don't want to be in here.
It's a staycation, right? That's what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
it's a staycation. In like a, what is it, a ruby?
It could be any sort of gym is the thing.
Okay, petition for...
No, it has to be a ruby.
It's ruby that I'm in. Everyone to change the Don John card to be a staycation.
With a man named Don John. Like, look at the positive. I challenge you to sort of look at the positive.
Yeah.
Your character is trapped in a gym. Oh, boo-hoo.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's a much better hypothetical. So, like, you're in the gym. You can get work done, but Don John is there, and he's going to try and slap the flash drive away.
Without ejecting it properly.
Like, man, come on. You got to chill. This is free time, brother.
So that's not a staycation. It's you staying with Don John.
Yeah. You're at Don John's Airbnb, and he's like, you're never going to see
there.
Me. You're
I
never
going to
see
me. I don't like when the host is there.
Okay, staycation at an Airbnb hosted by Don John. I think it could also
and
be the punishment.
You clicked, like, entire place, but Don John does live there.
He does live there.
Yeah. He, like, lives in the basement and is acting like the rest of the house.
And he's like, oh, don't worry. I'm never in the main space, but he's always in the main space.
There's a baby gate between the basement
but he's just climbing on top of it. It's okay. He's
sorry,
in the
I gotta come up and use the bathroom. I can go number one down there because I have a jug.
But
up here, I gotta go number two.
It's a railroad setup to the bathroom, and I have to take a lot of shit.
Oh shit, were you asleep?
3 a.m. shit in a railroad Airbnb.
Oh no. This makes me want to make a joke version of the entire deck of magic.
I think that sounds really fun.
Ooh. Wow. Okay, so from what we know,
yeah,
technically it is possible to draw these cards again. Yeah. And also it does say that they kept drawing them, right?
Right. Yeah. Right,
and
right.
It sounds like they were drawing them from a deck that this an player brought in, right. So you know that they weren't so rigged. Stacked,
yeah. If you're drawing multiple cards, the idea that out of six or seven people that you would draw the same card twice is not weird at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have to acknowledge this person's heartbreak though, because you are having so much fun with your D&D group that you guys find a deck of many things and then you make a little deck. You bring
show up
it
with the fresh
in,
cards.
Yeah.
And you guys slowly just realize that your campaign is over.
Cool prompt though is that in 1,000 years you guys all break loose of your station rubies and the world has been destroyed and you need to save it.
But your skin is glowing.
Yes.
You have been rested. You look incredible.
You're so relaxed.
And it's just you and Don John.
You and Don John patched things up and you wrote a novel together.
Yeah. And it's really good.
One novel in 1,000 years.
That's actually not that bad.
With Don John bothering you? Yeah, how long it takes.
Yeah. 1,000 years.
Oh, I have an idea for the middle of the book.
Yes.
For the middle.
I'm more of an ideas
That's
guy.
That's not helpful at all, dude. That's not helpful at all.
You're right. I'm going to play basketball.
All right, so we're punishing the player?
I think, well.
We're punishing the player. We have
to. Yeah. I think we're saying that it sounds like they did it according to the rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it sounds like the player's already been punished.
But they
like punishing bit. Someone going
but
through a breakup,
us.
Kind of. Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, but I guess we had to put them in a gem with Don John. Right?
Yeah.
Or we could punish them gem? To play the reboot of their characters. Like the
ooh.
When
oh,
they
that's
all
fun.
Up.
What about
they have to suffer.
They just wasn't there a heavy.
Isn't there a, like a surf company or something called like Ron John's?
Mm.
Is that,
oh
is
yeah.
That,
is it Ron?
You're
John?
Asking the right people for
sure. Actually, Jake does serve.
Yes. You do?
Yeah, I do, but I don't know anything about Ron John.
Okay.
I'm kind of going back in my memory. What did I do last week? And what was the brand of all the stuff I bought? And it was probably Ron John's. Yeah.
Does Ron John make a bucket hat?
I was just going to say, maybe you could just be stuck in a giant Ron John's for a while.
Bucket hat with a chin strap so when I go surfing,
it stays.
The hat with the strap.
They do have a bucket hat.
At Ron John?
Murph, it's $22.
Get it for all of us.
Ron John's bucket hat?
I accepted the cookies on his website because I was so desperate to show you.
And it's like a nice Potter's clay color.
Okay.
Whoa, really
these
nice.
These players all do have to buy Ron John's bucket hats.
But not this one. This one's mine.
That one's, wait.
This one's already gone.
Okay, that's on like
wait, how many
eBay,
colors are there? How many colors are there?
It's mostly,
actually a pretty dull hat.
It's not that dull.
Uh-huh.
It's a Potter's clay.
Oh, you haven't seen this picture?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say that it exudes the surf lifestyle as I understand it.
Yeah.
I would say it looks sun faded.
Right.
So there is that. Yeah, right. But Reka, your surf
my surf lifestyle was kind of
more
bright.
Aggro.
Yeah, it's very aggro. Neon yellows, kind of putrid greens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Neon yellows.
So you can find me, you catch me in the ocean, you can see me from far away.
Oh shit, Rick is pissed.
How many bucket hats do you need to see in one group to assume that they're a cult? I'm thinking like three,
two.
Right?
Yeah. No,
two to me is like, oh wow, they're either best friends or like a couple and they're just like vibing on each other's energy real strong. Three, absolutely. You're veering into cult.
It might be like one is already a pattern, uh-huh. You know, yeah, and then two's the cult.
Yeah. What if you're at, okay, taking this to something we've talked about before, which is like if you're at a restaurant, everyone else is doing something, how long before you start questioning yourself?
Yeah.
So go back to that old question.
Yeah.
If you're at a nice restaurant, everyone there is wearing bucket hats, but like deadly serious. Do you talk to the waiter about
Murph,
it?
Murph, I love chit chat. I love to chit chat. I'll absolutely be like, hey, is there like a bucket hat thing going on?
Yeah.
So right away.
I think before I'm even seated, I go to the host. I'm so sorry. I forgot my bucket hat. Do you guys loan that?
Do you have
here's
any?
Another question off of that.
I'm a size.
Yeah. Do you have a
I won't reveal.
Do you have a dinner bucket hat?
So imagine you're at the same restaurant. Okay. Everyone's wearing a bucket hat. You not having a bucket hat, but you go to your seat and there's a bucket hat on the chair. Do you put it on?
Okay, head lice is a thing.
If there's a loose bucket, how but many people do you have to see?
Does it have a plastic liner? So I know it's question. Fresh.
It's not fresh. Not fresh.
But it looks like, but it smells like it's just been like dried.
It doesn't look rank and it doesn't smell everyone bad, else but it's not crisp.
Everyone else is wearing bucket hats?
Almost everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Almost everyone else? Yeah, I fucking put it on.
I think if it smells, you know, because like we go to hotels, right?
And
we put our heads on the pillow. We do be going to hotels all the time.
And you put your feet in those slippers.
After you surf, you go to
a hotel. After I'm done, I go to a hotel. I soak right in the bed. I dry off because I know those sheets are clean.
You can just like sneak in when someone's leaving. You don't even have to pay for the hotel.
No.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Whoa. You go, hi, I was just here. I left my watch up there.
I live here sometimes.
And you're soaking wet. Yeah, I'm soaking wet. My watch is up there.
Okay, so we're punishing these players. They have to, live in a bucket hat or something.
Yeah, live in a bucket hat with Don Juan.
Bucket hat of anything.
Buy all of us Ron John bucket hats.
Great.
Or maybe all of you have to wear them.
Yeah.
Except for this one that Jake wants.
Yeah.
I think Murph's going to forget it, but I want to try and get bucket hats so that the next time we record an episode, all three of us put on bucket hats and Murph has to DM.
Wait, why am I going to forget?
Don't forget.
I want you to forget.
So it'll be a surprise.
You're going to forget it.
The bucket hat
reference is big.
Don't tell Emily what she's going to forget. That's her choice. She can remember what she wants to.
Bucket hats would be perfect for D&D because you could turn up the brim and put your dice in it.
Yeah.
And it's like fishing your dice out.
And then when it's time to roll, you just put your head down.
You tip it down.
Just nod your head. Yeah.
That's nice.
Man, there's some really cheap bucket hats. This one's only $15. It is wrong.
When you said really cheap, I didn't think it was going to be $15.
Holy shit, they're giving these away. $55?
With inflation.
It's like a reasonable cold brew. Like a reasonable
for brand
for a
new,
bucket hat.
Not brand new. Who's a brand new Rick? This
used,
is actually
gently used.
This is it's, for $15. Extremely quote, reasonable.
Quote port affair condition.
Okay.
On port.
And what's on it? What's the design?
It says Ron John.
Ron John hat.
Okay.
No.
Right.
You lose this case. Buy me a Ron John hat. Yeah. The next one comes from Tori L. Tori writes, "This has been sitting with me for years." My second session with my now longtime RPG group, the DM allowed us to buy back alley potions and drugs. To offset the lower cost, I needed to roll before using the health potions to see if it was actually poison. I rolled poorly, and I accidentally killed an NPC with it. Which was very upsetting. Another player who had purchased items from the same person used them the same session and did not need to roll to see if the product was poison. When I asked the DM why, he just said it was because he didn't need to. I thought it might be a story thing, so I let it go, but it never came up again, and we finished the campaign. It also became a running joke over the next 3 years that I killed the innocent NPC.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It created flavor, but I was never really happy with the direction my character went.
You're being bullied.
Should the other players have had to roll, or was I at least owed an explanation as to why? Or should I try harder to let this go?
No, you're being bullied.
I think we can assume that the DM saw this happen and was like, whoops, I'm just not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the question. Did you read your DM's lore maze?
Oh, that's true.
And if you did you click the virus the inside? Download
did you,
it?
Did you download the malware?
Think about that.
Because that'll open a few PDFs on your computer and that will explain everything that happened there.
So your character is now possessed by my malware.
Okay, so this seems we're probably going to be on the player's side here. Let's talk this through.
Sure.
Okay, the only way to give the DM a generous read, let's say the DM went into this being like, okay, this person selling you potions, there's one bum potion in there. And so the first person that rolls gets it. And that means they don't have to get it.
Oh, interesting.
That's a possibility, but
they could have given that specific answer.
Exactly.
Yes. So they would have said that. So that's why it's a generous read, because it's probably wrong.
Is there a chance that like all of the potions looked like normal healing potions, and then this one was just in a grimy Dr. Pibb bottle? So like, this is just on them because they should have known that something was up with this grimy doctor.
I feel like that would have gotten brought up.
Yeah,
right. I don't know.
Maybe I do ask people to keep the cases brief. Mm-hmm.
If, if it was what Emily said too, of like, the DM realized, oh, this is a bad system for this potion. Let's have any other person who needs to do this. Like, what is the philosophy on that? Like, do you retcon what you've done if you realize like, this mechanic doesn't really work?
I'm guessing what happened is they were in a fight.
Yeah.
Probably this person administered a potion, killed an NPC. Yeah. But then probably the DM was like, oh, fuck, this is, they're all just going to be killing each other. Okay. Yeah. No, they don't, no one has to do it anymore.
Yes.
But never gave say a satisfying explanation because they didn't want to say, oh, that was a bad idea.
Oops.
Right. Yeah. I think the DM could skate out of this with my excuse by being like, there was one bum potion. There. I think you need a little smoke and mirrors to retcon.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
But the DM didn't do that, did
the
they?
DM did the not DM did not do
that. We're talking about pre-non-crime now.
Yes.
And that's not what this is. This is absolutely not present day crime.
This is regular crime.
Yeah. This doesn't involve a pre-cog at all.
Yeah. This is a blue marble.
That milk does not have to come into this.
This is milkless.
For once.
This case is absolutely milkless.
I dairy free vegans, come get it.
We're gonna go
vegans. This case is milkless.
Yeah. We're gonna go to the break room. That's where the present cogs are. They're fully clothed. They've got hair. They're just normal.
I'm so sorry to come back to this. Is there a reason why they used milk? Like, is it like the wisdom of a mother cow?
I would say that it's not actually canon that it is milk.
Uh-huh.
It looks like milk.
It's just milky. So it could have been like
brain
watered down
juice.
Cum.
I think it's
watered down cum.
Because that would be like from a creation place.
Right.
And I was remembering because I saw it a long time ago, but I think in the beginning, Tom Cruise is making himself breakfast and he like is making an omelet and then he drops a bunch of milk and that is where leaks through his floor
and that's kind of the metaphor that sets us off because I remember the scene. I watched it on a plane and Tom
on a way to a surf trip
on the way to my surf palooza and Tom Cruise
righteous.
Was thank you righteous too unto you and Tom had just gotten it in and was kind of cleaning up afterwards and then we see that kind of drip through the floorboard
It's a I mean it could be a mix because I saw it a long time ago
right. I saw it on the plane
It might have been that he had like a one night stand.
It could have been, but I remember both of these scenes happened. Might have backed back to back. The one night stand making them eggs.
I think it opens with him masturbating in bed.
Right.
What? No, it doesn't.
And then he like
Minority Report like for sure.
Bag, but he tosses it on the ground. The semen seeps through.
Right.
Stop.
And then he
says,
"He would never." And then I think he looks at the camera. And he says, "It's time for my post nut omelet."
Yeah. And then, you gotta break. What is it? You can't nut without breaking a few eggs.
Exactly what he says.
Yeah. He looks directly down the barrel of the camera.
He breaks the fourth wall. Yeah.
And he never does that again for the rest of the
movie. It doesn't come up, much like the explanation for this potion, you know.
Excellent.
Yeah. You hit really hard on the reef in that surf trip, right?
Right. Absolutely. Banged it up real good. Soup brain. Big time.
Okay. So, So, this, you're clearly being bullied by your table. The DM was wrong here because if they were going to set it up that there was like one bum potion or in there, they really shouldn't have had people roll like con saving throws going through it. You should have like rolled a d4 and like marked them off 1, 2, 3, 4 or something like that. Like you should have done this beforehand. You should have done pre-non-crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
instead of present crime is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Right.
There was a way for the DM to do this that wouldn't require everyone to roll, but this was not that.
You didn't do it.
You didn't do it.
You didn't make it milkless.
You absolutely did not make it milkless.
Okay. So we're punishing the DM here.
So like Tom Cruise related, like Tom Cruise has that perfect center tooth.
Yeah.
You have to go to the dentist and ask for a
center
tooth.
No. I think what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to get a toothbrush with two sides and you're going to be responsible for brushing Tom Cruise's center tooth. That's going to be your job now.
Oh, interesting.
Two-sided toothbrush.
A two-sided toothbrush.
A Darth Maul toothbrush.
Yeah, a Darth brush.
All right. So Invisalign for a Tom Cruise center tooth.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think I might do it too.
Wait, it's growing on me. This is looking good.
I like unusual teeth, so I like the center tooth.
Yeah.
You just go to the dentist and you're like, can you give me a little symmetry, please?
So centered.
So centered.
Center tooth.
Our next case comes from Catatles. To the Honorable Justices and Bailiff Joel Close, I present to your counsel the case of the cowardly players. Wow. A few years ago, I DM'd a one-shot for my friends. This was pretty much all of our first experiences with D&D, save for me having watched a few podcasts. I set my party in a town that at first seemed normal until they had dreams of one of the town's children crying for help. Wow. The next morning, they looked for the child, asking his brother where he was, only for the brother to ask, "Who's that?" No one in the town could remember the kid. Whoa. I was really excited about getting...
This sounds really fun!
Yeah. I was really excited about getting to this part and getting to see my player's reaction. Well, the three of them all looked at each other and declared that they were leaving because this town was, quote, too scary.
Oh, no!
I was in shock. I did everything I could, save from physically holding them back. I even had the matriarch, who is secretly the BBEG and also has been established to not like the players, give them health potions and other gifts. Eventually, I had to stop and straight up tell them that since this is a one-shot, I didn't have anything outside of this town and that they needed to go back. I still rag on them to this day about it, but sometimes I wonder if I should have tried to work with their decision more or perhaps anticipated that they'd want to leave. I humbly throw myself at the court's feet, awaiting your ruling.
Okay, before we rule, I'll say, Murph, that there is a public service here that I think that you need to do, which is... This probably has happened at other tables before where there's a call to adventure and the players say, "No, I'm too scared." And then people are scrambling. You need to create a water park that if people don't want to do the adventure, you can just Google water park for cowards.
Yeah.
And then you can be like, great.
And you just run that.
Yeah.
And you just run
that. And we'll make those booklets for everyone.
That's great. That's great. Yeah.
So this is tough, right? Because on the one hand, I'm like, I don't know. There does need to be some level of buy-in if you're going to do like a horror thing. But this was, they were really quick to quit.
Yeah.
This is
very scary.
It's not that scary. Right?
Yeah, it really isn't that scary.
Yeah.
Maybe you put on really scary music. Maybe you made the dream really haunting.
Was it Halloween?
Because it was...
Were they primed to be scared already?
Yeah, right.
Because missing kid isn't that scary. It's more urgent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it was the witching season, then like chances are good. People are just like predisposed to be scared.
Mm-hmm. I guess for me, as a relatively new D&D player, I hear missing kid and I go, oh, that's really sad. There's people killing their moms. There's big monsters coming out of everywhere. I'm like, it's the same as all of this.
It's D&D stuff. I could see, if it was a situation where it was like, okay, you open the door and there's messages written in blood somebody's like, I'm out. I can't do this.
I hate blood.
That's fair. But I think there is a certain level of buy-in with D&D where I think that if you're not willing to tolerate any level of like spookiness, then you probably have to prep your DM, right? And just be like, just so you know, if there's tension, I'm out.
And then the DM could always just use a sillier voice. So you'd be like,
right.
And the kid was missing.
So I guess the strange thing, I guess like the thing that made it scary is that like everyone in the town didn't remember the kid, right?
Yeah.
So it's see eerie. Like I mean, we liked
it.
It's eerie.
All of us liked it.
I think eerie is like the right word there, right? Like, do you have to warn your players if the game is going to be eerie?
Unsettling.
Was this the first time they had played D&D? This was not, right?
It was the first time, everybody's first time playing.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
That makes more sense to me because I think I have had to learn when my DM, and I still don't know, is like telling me, do this thing, stop trying to go over there and go to the mall. Stop trying to go to the mall.
I didn't build the mall.
I didn't actually build the mall. And I'm like, but I want shoes.
Right.
having to learn like, the improviser cue that's like, actually do this thing. Or whatever. And so I can understand that it's not clear on top. And you're like, oh, my character's going to die if I stay in this town. Bye.
That is true. There is like I think like one of the big sells of D&D that you give to people, and it's not totally true, is to just be like, you can do anything.
Right.
Yeah,
so I think that is a little bit of a
false. You can do anything within reason.
Absolutely confused me and continues to confuse me as I ask Brennan annoying questions about what I can do. And he goes, No, you cannot take that.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you can be a fish in a pond. Like, you can't leave the pond. And if there's a hook there, it's probably going to be tasty and fun to go on the hook. Not for the fish, but, like, for the adventure of it all.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. A little bit of a tough one. I think for, like, a one shot, it's pretty clear that, like, you had this one thing set up and there's not really anything else to do.
I wonder if your friends wanted to play D&D.
Yeah.
They might have just wanted to go to a water park.
Yeah.
There's something that's a different about module. Such a simple, easy, obvious call to adventure being like, no, yeah. Thank you.
They really might have just wanted to hang out and roleplay.
Hero's journey? No thanks.
They might have been part of my people, which is people who like chit-chat.
Yeah.
Eat snacks and chit-chat.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Which is its own adventure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're like, this is too scary. Where can we go to chit-chat?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's like a great thing to run is like there's like a haunted town, but you're just trying to like get laid. You're just trying to like go on a couple dates. But like there is a haunting going on in the background and you just have to like make sure that you don't sleep in the haunted house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or with a haunted man.
Exactly. You just gotta avoid the donjon of this.
I do. Yeah, I feel like on both sides there's a little bit of like I think there maybe should have been a chat beforehand to be like what is
whoa,
right, because I do
been nice.
I do think that if you know I don't know if you were gonna play with a bunch of people you'd be like hey we're gonna do this sci-fi setting or hey we're gonna do this or like when you bring your character it'll be this type of thing which unfortunately I do think falls in the DM a little bit but I also do think that it's pretty bare minimum eeriness to just be like they don't remember what happened to just kind of tap out at that is like I think you'd need to tell your DM that you know it's also, you need to warn the DM for that.
If you look at the cover of the player's handbook it looks a little frightening.
I sentence you all to a session zero. I sentence you all to a session zero.
That's a good punishment, right?
Session zero is the way
session
to go.
Session zero.
That solves every single problem.
Really makes me laugh picturing you sitting there with your three friends gathered around a table.
You must have done such a good job being so creepy. Just being like, I don't recall.
Yeah. I want you to DM for me. You probably killed it.
Yeah.
You killed it too hard.
Yeah, congrats. I mean, it sounds like you are definitely... did a good job setting like an eerie vibe.
Yeah. You should go to like audition for roles and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe you're an actor.
Oh, yeah. There's a chance that maybe there was like a loud thunderstrike outside, like right during a spooky line, and they all jumped into each other's arms, Scooby-Doo style.
Cool.
Yeah. And like you just can't come back from that.
And if you want to be an actor, I can be your agent.
Oh,
nice. Okay.
I can get you in the Minority Report
universe. You'll have to shave your head and be covered in milk
for your audition tape.
yeah, exactly.
But I really think you'll get a call back.
But it's okay. Your head's gonna be shaved. We're gonna keep it warm with a bucket hat.
Yeah. Right on. Wow. Right on.
A really good punishment is to audition for Minority Report too.
Right now, yeah.
Apropos of nothing. Audition tape. Okay. So ordered. And with that. Why don't we step into church and listen to a confession?
Okay.
Put on our tall papal bucket hats.
Ooh, yes,
is that
I'm
okay with you, Murph?
That.
Yes.
Sort of like a cat in the hat, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I was for Halloween one time.
Whoa.
Murph let you?
I let her do anything.
He said I could have thing one, but not thing two.
Oh my God.
He's so generous.
He put thing two on a high shelf that I couldn't reach.
I'm so tall and she's so small.
Okay, Nathan J. writes, I prostrate myself at the feet of Dice Christ's chosen extensions of his mercy and judgment. I fear I've betrayed Dice Christ and my players. When I was deployed overseas, I started my own game with my friends. We played very often, sometimes three times a week.
Wow.
One night, they begged me to play instead of going to the gym. I told them, roll a nat 20 and we'll play. Lo and behold, their first roll was a nat 20.
Wow.
They started screaming and I was speechless.
Speechless at like the 5% chance, which is pretty decent.
I left for the gym.
No!
Everyone's disappointment. And it haunts me to this day.
Wow.
Did I betray Dice Christ and my players? And can I be forgiven? Or have I blasphemed beyond the point of redemption? I await your mercy. or Righteous Fury.
My friend, those gains won't last.
You chose Delta over Dice. Mm-hmm. You can't do that.
We really can't do that.
Yeah, we're going to need a moment. We're going to need a moment. Because, yeah, we've said this before. Don't ever leave anything up to a role if you can't handle what happens. Yeah, like, we have this all the time where it's just like, I set this thing up, and then my player rolled a nat 20. It's just like, why did you tell them to roll if they can't do it
you
or whatever?
You chose to lift for yourself instead of lifting up your partners.
Wow. Yes. Oh my God.
Hear her, hear her.
You were bulking your gains, but not bulking your friendship.
Yeah.
You were cutting your friendships.
That's right.
Okay.
You were taking your workout to the next level, but you should have been having level up.
Come on, get there.
Getting some experience that you could achieve another.
Take your time.
Get there, man.
Next stretch.
At your own pace.
He's vomiting pure Gatorade.
Wow.
Okay. All right, I think we're going to need some penance. I think you need to bench press bags of D20s.
I don't know.
Yeah, or milk.
1,000 D20s or 4 gallons of milk on each side.
Or you have to squat with a D4 under each foot.
Oh! On the back heel.
Okay.
You have to use your strong butt cheeks to roll.
Shit. Whoa. Yeah.
Wait, guys, we're fucking onto something here. All right, like a D20 fitness, D20 hour fitness. So think about it. All right,
take your time, but get there.
Okay, dude.
Yeah.
Go on.
spitting up D20s.
Saying get there to somebody to get to the punchline is such a bad, unsupportive thing to do.
That's so rude.
Caldo, get there.
Get there, dude.
You were saying some kind of D20 fitness bullshit. Get there.
It's all good. Take your time, but get there.
Get there, dude. We've been teasing this for minutes now, dude.
There's a cockroach in my mouth. I don't know how I got there.
Get there.
D20 medicine balls. That was all I was going to say.
Whoa.
Okay. Wow.
D20 plyo balls.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So I guess like start like a D20.
Start a business.
Yeah. Yeah. Start a Dungeons and Dragons.
Start a Dungeons and
Dragons. Because I think the dodecahedron isn't copyrighted.
Yeah.
Oh, a dojo decahedron.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah,
right on.
We got it.
We got there. Did we? So forgiven.
So forgiven.
Is my eye red? It looks really red.
Both of them, yeah.
Let's go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. You can head on over to our Patreon and listen to our bonus episode over on patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. Don't do it. Thank you to our guest, Reka. Reka, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, my God. Watch Digman on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
And check me out on socials. I'm at Reka L. Shunker on TikTok and Twitter. And then Reka_S on Instagram. Just do it.
Great. Yeah. And just look out into the ocean and you'll be there.
And you'll see me. If you want to say hi, you can try to catch me on a wave.
Totally tubular. Yeah. So nice.
Yeah, it's really awesome. You'll be able to see me in my bright clothes.
Holy shit, she's in a barrel.
Woo, I'm in the barrel again.
It's blinding.
You can follow the rest of us on social media that we may not use, at Teens First Me, at EXFords Emily, at Jake Hurwitz is Jake, at
Caldy?
Caldy is Caldy.
What the fuck, man?
I'm in the wrong order. I don't know.
See, you do forget.
I do forget.
I send you links. I send you links from my Twitter every day.
And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are.
They're good links.
Youth of a Nation. We are. Youth of a Nation.
And now it is time to thank our benevolent Council of Elders, and they are Brad D, Jeffrey S, Lord of the Fjord, Hugh C, later Mick Skater, Matt M, Cutter W, Jeff C, Daniel G, Dungeon Mama, back and more sexual than ever, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Bryant, best friend to Nathan the Horse, Vincent W, Victor T, Balnor's Boy,
Hoyt's Friend, Justin I, Danny Danster, TJ M, Trele the Cray, Christopher B, Damiel R, Jordan L, Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, Targot, Stevie Wags, Hellish Rebuker, PhD, RIP Squeam, He Died As He Lived, Without Context, Princess Yar, Jory S, Jack L, Nicholas C, every star of every film ever made in Bohemia, now starring in the Iron Deep production, A Squire Never Tires, Samuel B, Mike H, Alka-Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Knee Badger, Panama James, Heradrian, Carborough, Chapel Hill, FPV, Rex Daniel, The White, Diana DLL, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot, The Rabbit Folk Detective, Reiko, Calder Comes Cold, shout out to the Cold Come Companions, Frosty Facial, Jesus, Taylor B, The Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass Skateboard Cass, Steven Is Steepen T, Unevenly, You See C, Mike K, Lady Taco and Team Incredulity, Joy T, Jake L, Nick W, Agnitty, William W, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Anorama, Percival Frederickstein von Muscle, Klawowski de Rolo, The Third, J Dragonborn, Mondo, Radical, The Sandrean, Ben A, Dave H, Christian S, A Cell from the Prison of Elders, Dustin S, Danny F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's Assistant, Izzy F, DPC Is Awesome, Sean the Shade Tree, Mechanic of Zelbaldar, Summer RG, Cat C, Misa of House and Zunza, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N, aka Valesi Raptor, B Perky Always, Pat L, Maxwell J, Lauren H, Nolani the Coffee Barista Brewing Fighter of Limpial and Bohemia, Serve 16, The Bone Duster, Annie, the Feywild Therapist, Skillful Ferret Connor Savage, Salil, Weed Goku 69, aka Gunk at 16, experimenting with drugs, BioQuart 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Trubhop Dropper, Jack H, aka Hey Guys 8-Bit Book Club 982, reviews on Spotify 8 more, and the scribe says his dad would guest. Okay, interesting. Lindsay W, Valen, Carlin C, Emily S, Noah the Bullywug Boy, hashtag release the filthy guppy cut, James G, Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger, Stripey, Daddy Master Dandy, Han, Eric B, Marcos, Learns the Balance, Druid, Dakota JP, Frida M, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Maggie S, Holly Hyena, Leah Giovanni the Fighter, Akash Thakar, Andrew Crick Plains Walker, Getting Cricky with It, Dufinius, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes the whole thing, yes every time, Cody C, Keychain Pentium 2, Processor, Lorelei the Succubus, and Kira her Busty Queen, Matt M, Your Friendly Neighborhood, Yaunt and Yunkle, Andrew and Sid, John Adams, yes, the writing candidate for 2024, Meg the Mail Carrier Manager of Bohemia, James F, Jimmy A, M4L, Austin S, Wayfarer now has to do something with the trolls, get rid of them, turn to page 42, keep them, turn to page 69, Shane C, Barpo Good Barrel Bard, Barian, Welsh Lander, Garrett G, One Big Curd, Mr. D, Dana the Daisy, Ethan B, Havi the Half Orc, Renee the Monster Captain, Box Clifton, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who is working hard on her audition for the lead singer of the Mounting Crows, Winter Slade, Sammy B, Bahumia's Finest Linguist, Riley S, Fico, Garrett the Artificer, Anthony the Raddest of Dudes, Josh H, Caleb LS, the fairies have been partying nonstop to celebrate, hashtag CCC, we are hungover and resting and wishing the best of luck to y'all. Cantrip, Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian, Lexi H, MJ, the BFG, Cam the Frogman, Artavius Crass, Gino T, Mama Bell, Derek D, Tristan the Talentless Hunk, BTA Workshop, Shenanigans O'Connor, Mios the Great, Alex K, Joshua S, Alexander, Linz W, Angel LaPamela, The Forever Vindicated, Emma S, Red the Reforged, Warforged, Pavu Escanor, the Goliath Paladin, providing service with a smile. Aggressively palm muting open strings because frets are for chumps. A cat napping in a sunbeam, listening to a podcast. Nyack's Nasty Nut. CJ Hampton. Shell B, Kenna's second favorite sprite girl. She is casting Power Word Party on everyone listening. If below 150 HP, you must now limbo. How low can you go? Jackson R, official Ned Flanders. Blake H, searching for a sweet blue hole with his bestie Big Bev, Pawpaw Sky Days, Meemaw Sky Days, Oh, It's V, Tommy W., Mike and Lisa, sending love to y'all, Haley the Human, Megan N., The Big M., Balnor's best friend Steve, Stephanie of House and Zunza, Jake's Ramen Shop, R.I.P., Melchior the Brave Lion and Warrior, who even cares about the rest of the party, Karjish, Benjamin A., Sacrificial Otaku, pen name for Callie's cousin who discovered anime and is trying to spread the word all over Bohemia, Jiggy M., Mickle A., Josh H., Let's Combine into Ultimate Mega, Yakmazord 9000, Froki, Maple the Shy Bookworm, Ash Lee, Seth E., Billy B., Tori the Dragoose, son of Thomas the Blind Bisexual Goose, by Icon, and father of 69 Signets the Real Goose. Look him up. All right. Sock Monkey Bob, Il Clitori di Signora Grigia, Michael L.S., Jacob P., Nova Cry, Parcel Dex Riddlewell, Hannah A., Ace Dregs, High Lord of Kritzburg, Joshua F., Darius D., Troy's Mom, and of course, Vin Diagram. Thank you, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.